The next speaker in the program here is Terry Gray, and he will be talking about confusion of categories. Terry?
Thank you, Clarence. So I'm going to pretend to be a philosopher, theologian today. No PowerPoint. So you got to have your ears focused here. So We Believe in Creation, the name of this symposium, is 1971 essay by Dick Bube. I never met Dick Bube. I know his son fairly well, though. Mark Bube, but his work has been very influential to me. And this paper is one of the most important papers ever published in the ASA Journal. It appeared in a regular journal once, and then it was the cover article of some essays on evolution that was a special issue. It even appeared as a pamphlet in print. I got copies of both of that that special issue on evolution and the We Believe in Creation and an article by Jerry Alberts on the second law of thermodynamics when I was a student at Purdue and went to a section of the ASA and they had some literature there. And while it didn't, I was already theistic evolutionist, if you will. I have a record of me being involved in this discussion from seventh grade on, it's amazing that I could get a copy of this, but anyway. But it did affirm my convictions on this. And this article is also one of the early articles that we placed on the web for the ASA and is been regularly viewed. And it was republished on the web by Biologos on their site not too long ago. So very, very influential article. And it makes two fundamental points, in my opinion. The first is that for members of ASA, for Christians, creation is not a controversial question. No matter what our stripe is in the faith science debate, young earth, old earth, evolutionary creationist, we're all creationists. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God continues to preserve the world that he has created. Those sorts of declarations are in the ASA Statement of Faith. An implication of this is perhaps more controversial, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this claim, but the fundamental and non-controversial belief in creation sets ASA members and all Christians apart from atheistic, agnostic, and deistic scientists. And because this belief is so fundamental, I want to suggest that the evolutionary creationist and the young earth creationist have more in common with respect to fundamental beliefs than the evolutionary creationists have with evolutionary biologists who are also atheists. Couldn't always tell that from the way the conversation happens in the ASA over the years. So no little strife exists and has existed in the ASA because of our differences about these age of the earth and evolution questions. But Bube was correct, fundamentally. Our common belief in creation is non-controversial among us. Just a little plea here. I've heard that there are scientists who are Christians who won't join the ASA because we tolerate young earth creationists, they say. And, you know, name your other category that they don't like. I would just plead with those individuals and with all of us to reconsider that animosity. Creation is fundamental, and creation is non-controversial. And I'm going to say ditto for intelligent design. Now, in my manuscript, if I had slides, you'd see this. It's lowercase I, lowercase d. I think the fundamental idea is non-controversial. It's part of our doctrine of creation. We believe in a God who designed the world, who planned the world. Of course, there are other claims associated with the capital I, capital D. Our statement of faith even says God has endowed creation with contingent order and intelligibility, and our statement of faith declares that to be the very basis of scientific investigation. Okay, the second point that I want to spend the rest of the talk on is from We Believe in Creation, is that some Christians mix the doctrine of creation, a non-controversial theological point, with certain scientific claims, and vice versa. You can't always decide which is which. And they take data from Scripture and use that as part of their scientific approach. Okay? And in his paper, Bube singled out young earth creationists, or fiat creationists, as he called them, the so-called scientific creationists, which used conclusions of a certain interpretation of the early chapters of Genesis and genealogies found in Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament to determine the age of the earth and the universe and whether or not biological evolution had occurred. Claims that went against prevailing views in the scientific establishment. Okay, and here's the idea, the thesis here. Bube accused them of a profound confusion of categories. Okay, and I urge you to, it's a two-page article. You should go online and read this. The doctrine of creation, according to Bube, is a theological category. Okay, questions of geology, astronomy, cosmology, evolutionary biology are in the scientific category. Think of it in terms of another important ASA book over the decades, Robert Fisher's book, God Did It, and maybe in light of Deb's talk last night, God is doing it still. God did it, but how? Okay. So the God did it is our theology, our doctrine of creation. The how is the science. That's Fisher's thesis. I'm not sure that Bube is necessarily advocating a strict demarcationism here, but the doctrine of creation is derived mainly from Scripture. Answers big questions about God, this world, human beings, and purpose. Doesn't answer our modern technical questions raised by scientific investigation. And these weren't the questions of the ancient original audience. And the doctrine of creation, as it's revealed to us through Scripture, is available to all people of all times. We don't need technical knowledge about the bacterial flagella to know that the heavens declare the glory of God. Okay? That psalm passage is relevant to the ancients as much as it is to us today. Okay, and the conclusion is that is not controversial for a theist, for a person of faith. Questions of age and mechanism are relatively modern and technical. They can be answered by scientific investigations that have been built on previous scientific investigations. Many of these questions didn't even exist in a form accessible to scientific investigations until relatively recently. They wouldn't really mean anything to the ancient audience, or even an audience as recently as a few hundred years ago. Bube's distinction here helped many in the ASA to to see that belief in creation and a creator God didn't necessarily conflict with the practice of modern science. The fact that God did it does not interfere with figuring out how it happened. Okay? Physical and biological processes that led to the world as we now know it were created, preserved, and governed by God. But they're two different categories, theological and scientific. Creation requires theological reflection based on Scripture, the rest of our theological reflections, and I'll admit a little bit of natural theology can be in there as we look at the world and see how God acted. That can inform us. But I would put most of the priority on Scripture and theological reflection there. Some may still choose to include questions and answers that others see as being accessible to scientific investigation, such as age and process. But I would say this: that the creation idea is primarily a theological reflection. Okay, scientific investigation is different. It's rooted in empirical observation, experimentation, theorizing, predictions, postdictions, all the things we talk about in our philosophy of science. In resisting a confusion of categories, we wouldn't want to mingle our theological doctrines with the practice of science. Thus, we can speak of Earth history in geological terms and theorize based on the applicable scientific methodology without bringing in any information from our creation theology. In that viewpoint, there well may be evidence for a young Earth. But it's not evidence from Scripture for a young Earth. It would have to be from empirical science. If we bring in our creation theology there, that's confusing the categories, in Bube's way of putting it. So to avoid the confusion of categories, let's just call it Earth history or historical geology or biological evolution. Cosmology. Bube clears the way in thinking about things this way with the doctrine of creation to be compatible with whatever science comes up with. So let's keep the creation and theological terminology out of our descriptors. Let's not call it scientific creationism, young earth creationism, old earth creationism. And if you read my abstract, you will see I'm going to apply this to some of our other categories that we talk about. So we can talk about the science as the how with no need to confuse the categories. We have and we should be developing, and you know, next year's annual meeting is going to be devoted to this, a robust doctrine of creation. Okay? That embodies the undergirding principles that allow us to practice science. So I think we haven't learned completely the lesson that Dick Bube has tried to teach us. Okay, we may have overcome it, or at least many of us, in the young earth or fiat creationism category, but we still feel need to refer to young earth creations, old earth creationists, evolutionary creationists, theistic evolutionists. Okay, we have all different kinds of categories. Each of these, I'm going to assert here, confuse the categories in their own way and mingle inappropriately a creational perspective in with the scientific perspective. It seems that it's unique to the age of the Earth or universe and evolution. We don't really speak of theistic physics or theistic chemistry or biochemical creationism, ecological creationism. And, you know, I'm hearing some chuckles, right? We typically make fun of such monikers. Why is that? We seem to have a sense of this confusion of categories when we talk about those things. Physics, chemistry, biochemistry, ecology are all disciplines in which we use the tools of science. We seem to know that the conclusions of those disciplines are compatible with a God-created, God-preserved, God-governed universe, our doctrine of creation. Why can't we do the same thing with historical geology, cosmology, biological evolution? I'm going to suggest we try it for a while. Okay? If these studies are in the how category, we don't need to confuse the categories by pasting on some theological creationist term. Okay? We've got a robust creational theology that allows us to do science. Why do we need to call it evolutionary creation? Right? Let's just call it biological evolution. All right, I'm going to say more about that by the end. So another one of these is methodological naturalism. Okay, I'm trying to step on everybody's toes. And either you're going to say this is trivial and mere semantics, or, you know, you're going to get in a fist fight with me. I don't know. So there's confusion of categories here as well. Methodological refers to the science, okay, how we do scientific investigation. Naturalism refers to the religion side, except now we're asked to adopt a non-theistic framework. Jack Haas once referred to Christian scientists as functional atheists in talking about this. I want to suggest that the practice of science does not ask us to set aside a belief in a God-created, God-preserved, and God-governed world, but instead is rooted in that very belief. And we've noted this from the ASA Statement of Faith, that God made a universe with contingent order that can be investigated and understood by human beings. And so we have this foundation for which the practice of science emerges. You know, let's talk about the theological foundation and talk about it in theological terms. But then we can do our science without necessarily mixing and mingling the categories. Now, some of you who know me well, and I don't know how many of you would be in that category, but you might think, okay, this is a demarcationism. I'm really surprised, Terry, that you're doing this. Don't we want a unity of our knowledge and a unity of our practice? The Christian worldview and in the Reformed and Kuyperian case that, you know, we have this comprehensive picture of how God works in the world. It discourages the separation of reality into sacred and secular. And it maybe sounds to you like I'm advocating that. So I want to say that the secular atheist scientists and Christian scientists share certain presuppositions about the world that allows for both of them to practice science. And I'm not going to go through these. This is, you know, a philosophy science book and, you know, a little bit of Deb's talk last night. They're rooted in very different philosophical claims, but there's some common ground as a result that allows for a common practice. So regularity, empiricism, intelligibility, including the use of mathematics to describe natural phenomena, objectivity, that there's a real world out there, curiosity about the world. You know, there's no absence of awe from an atheist scientist. That's not something that's unique to Christians. And so, you know, those kinds of things undergird our common practice of science. Christian scientists find these presuppositions to be consistent with their creation and providence theology. Atheists, and, you know, maybe this is a non-generous way to put it, but especially those who are realists, accept these presuppositions to be, that's the way the world is. Okay, maybe hearkening back to Clarence's, that's the experience we have when we look at the world. There's nothing naturalistic about practicing science on the basis of these presuppositions and working together with atheistic scientists who share these presuppositions. For the Christian, then, chemistry, physics, historical geology, ecology, evolutionary biology, you know, you name it, they're all creational. We don't have to say that they're creational if we're practicing them as Christians. So, you know, we could speak of theistic chemistry, chemical creationism, theistic physics, physical creationism, theistic evolution or evolutionary creation, but it becomes somewhat redundant as we easily recognize in the case of theistic chemistry, say. For a Christian, the ordinary practice of science, where we don't have to talk about God, when was the last time you submitted a technical paper to a journal and talked about God? Well, you're a unique beast there, George. And your discipline is faith science. So, but it's clear that from a Christian, the ordinary practice of science is Christian. So calling biological evolution just biological evolution, but knowing and, you know, be experiencing, teaching even that the Christian and creational undergird of this practice of science means we don't have to say that. Okay. All right. So this approach clarifies some questions. 6 days versus other views becomes a point in the theological and exegetical debate. Young Earth universe or old Earth or universe becomes a scientific question. While not all young Earth creationists have been willing to make this move, and there's some problems with it, of course, but the notion of apparent age seems to me to be a willingness to allow the science to speak, even if in the end the theological issue trumps it. There's a recognition. It looks like it's an old universe. So similarly for old Earth creationism and intelligent design. These are scientific questions, the age of the Earth, what the complexity of a system is, and whether or not it could evolve, or things like that, are about the evidence for and reasonableness in the hypothesizing about biological evolution. In a sense, there's no theological creational controversy. Intelligent design, like creation in general, as I said earlier, is not controversial from the perspective of our doctrine of creation. Some may welcome this distinction. I don't really think it helps their cause. Looking, at least from my perspective, looking solely at the scientific claims, considerably weakens the cosmic history arguments of young earthers and the anti-evolution arguments of intelligent design theorists. Okay, the big one. What about evolutionary creation? This is the favorite term of biologos folks. You know, Dennis Lamoureux became famous because of his book by that title. I've been known to use the term myself. But doesn't it suffer from the same fundamental problem? Biological evolution is a scientific discipline whose basic tenets have come out of empirical scientific investigation, while hypothesizing and theorizing normal science, the same biological scientific practice that gives us understanding, cures of disease, medicines, immunizations, nutrition, modern agriculture, etc. Okay, that's the science. Creation is a biblical and theological concept. So, two terms, we're confusing the categories. I'll wrap up with this. Biologos has a very interesting common question on evolutionary creation. What is it? I think it's got some of the fingerprints of Catherine Applegate, but maybe just an update, I'm not sure. But the article says, ECs, evolutionary creationists, believe that God created and sustains all things. ECs accept evolution as the best explanation for how life on Earth has changed over time. But the article continues. It surprised me just to read this. EC, evolutionary creation, is neither science nor theology, but an explanatory system that seeks to incorporate the best scholarship and reach. An interesting disavowal from those who are the main advocates of the phrase. I want to suggest that even at BioLogos, their creation theology comes from the Bible and their evolutionary biology comes from science. Bible doesn't teach evolution, and the study of biological evolution doesn't really inform our creational theology. At least in the Protestant tradition, sola scriptura is the basis of our theology, our creation doctrine. So why use a term that brings together the science word, the evolution idea, and the creational, the theology idea, to describe something that even those who use the term say is neither science nor theology? So back to the fundamental question, why not have a robust biblical theological doctrine of creation, which is not controversial, and then a scientific view, biological evolution, that has whatever level of controversy is associated with the scientific conclusion. Not much controversy for some of us, but more for others. All right, let's stop there. Thank you.
Time for a question. You feel the question.
Sure. Yep.
A quick comment and then a question for you. First comment I would make is I find two camps. One is people that don't believe in the God of the Bible at all. And when I talk to them, they say, well, I can't become a believer in Jesus because you don't believe in evolution. The other camp is people that I know that are believers in Jesus, and they say, certainly you don't believe in evolution. And my response in each case is, you have to find a person's definition when they use
yep,
that word.
Sure.
Because you'll find, probably in this room, quite a few different definitions, what they mean when they use the word evolution. So you have to be a little careful that you're speaking that person the same language.
Right.
Okay, having said that, I do have a question for you. Are you suggesting, though, even if the journal Science or the journal Nature will reject my paper if I say this is evidently an act of God, if I say something like that, it just automatically is sent home. But are you suggesting, though, that in our pursuit of science, we can't find things that are observations that clearly indicate to us there is a creator, there is creation? And I think it's very dangerous if we start to say, okay, let's put creation as a biblical or theological thing over here, and let's make science over here, because one can't touch the realm of the other.
I would say that the practice of science emerges out of our doctrine of creation. Okay, so I'm not going to say that they don't touch each other, but for the Christian, that's the way it works. But it's still the practice of science, the normal thing that Christians, non-Christians alike do in the lab.
We have a whole session over here called "How Does My
Yep Yep
Scientist Strengthen My Faith?"
And I'm not saying that that can't happen here, but let's get George in.
Yeah, exactly. I want a question, and I want to defer to George.
Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. I would agree that as far as when we're talking as Christians about theology, we talk about creation, and we don't modify it with the scientific statements about how we think creator creation work. However, when a Christians who don't accept evolution, for example, refer to me, as they sometimes do, as a theistic evolutionist, if I want to respond, I don't think the most helpful thing for me to do is to start out, is to get into criticism of whether theistic evolution is a helpful term. I want to respond to the substance of it,
right,
whether a Christian
right.
can accept evolution.
And that's fine. That's you know, that's the semantic fear that I had, that this is trivial and doesn't matter. I mean, when I talked to Dennis already at this meeting, he says, well, what do we call it? Okay, and what I just want to suggest here is that we really start as believers with a robust doctrine of creation out of which a proper practice of science can emerge. But the science itself is not any different than the non-Christian's version of the science.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I think most of us would see that as practicing scientists.
I'm going to ask Dennis's question. So we just got challenged to have the conversations at work with secular scientists, right? Who sometimes look at us like we have checked our brains if we admit to having faith. So what do we call it in those situations? Or do we not?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to ban the use of the word, and you know, you can explain it, but the point is that the Christian perspective here is a non-controversial doctrine of creation. We believe God created the heavens and the earth, and you know, as a believer in having a conversation with others, that, you know, that's a faith affirmation that we make. And I think you could show the questioner that the presuppositions of science or the assumptions of science that they practice and we practice as scientists come out of that doctrine of creation, are consistent with that doctrine of creation. I don't want to say that the practice of science is a uniquely Christian activity necessarily, as some have suggested, but to suggest that it's consistent with the creation doctrine foundations support our practice of science. I think that's a way to go in the conversation.
Well, I propose that we continue the discussion in the hallway and we go on with the next talk.